Jesus is the rock of my salvation, his banner for me is God. don't have any birthdays scheduled on the calendar this week, but if we miss somebody, you can raise your hand and let us know. All right. Beth, welcome. Good to have you back with us again. And let's say happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right, very good. Well, we have one child that's here for our Sunday school class, so let's go ahead and dismiss them. Ephesians chapter 6. We just started this past Sunday learning this passage about the armor that God has given us. And all of it is a picture, of course, of our salvation in Christ and our focus on the Word of God. All right. We were learning verses 10 and 11. Did anyone learn it this week when they said it? Carol, go ahead.
Ephesians 6:10-11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put me on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wrath of the devil.
All right, very good. Anyone else? Okay, May, go right ahead.
Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Kathy, go ahead.
Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Good. Okay. Marshall, go ahead. I thought you had
to say that. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may stand against the wiles of the devil.
Okay. Good. All right. We'll study this one for one more Sunday, and then we'll move on to verse 12 next week. All right? So, let's all say it together. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Very good. Lindsay? Amen. That's good scripture to memorize there. Christian life is a battle, right? And we definitely need the armor.
Even put up a good fight. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, would you turn to Galatians chapter number 5? It's good to hear the babies singing. Amen. I'll tell you. When we were singing, the babies were just screaming out. Amen. And that's good to hear. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. We are almost done this thought of one another. I'm tired of one another. Anybody else tired of one another? We've been talking about one another. In the messages, amen. Not privately, right? Not personally. But the church is all about one another. As we mentioned many, many times, the local church is God's support group, amen. We need each other. We've talked about the fact we need to love one another, and we talked about many things what that means. But loving one another is one thing, and we need to take it a step further. Galatians 5:13, I'll reiterate again this verse we've looked at several times, but if you would, Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So loving one another is the first thing we need to do. And that's not the easiest thing to do. Some people are easy to love. Can I get a witness on that one? By the way, you know it's true. I know it's true. Some preachers wouldn't get up and say that. But the fact is, some people are easier to love than others. Amen. Now, the thing is, we can say that, but sometimes we're the ones that are hard to love. We just don't understand that. You know, we just don't understand how people can't love us, you know. But nonetheless, we need to love one another, but we need to serve one another. You know, I think serving one another basically is love in action. You know, because you can love in word. You know that, right? First John, anybody can say, I love my brother. Anybody can say, you know, if a person's a brother's naked or destitute of clothing or food, oh, be filled, be warm. Anybody can say, but saying is not enough. We need, according to scriptures, we need to love in word, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. Amen. In fact, the book of James calls for that. You know, faith is one thing, believing is one thing, but doing something about what we believe, well, that's a whole other thing. Amen. And so you and I need to love one another in our hearts, but we also need to help one another from our lives. Amen. And last few weeks, we've talked about loving one another really involves serving one another, and serving one another, the emphasis on serving one another is we need to help one another. And we talked about this last week, helping one another. We looked at Galatians chapter 2, or chapter 6 and verse number 2. In fact, we're in the neighborhood. Might as well stop by. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So serving one another is helping one another. Bear each other's burdens. Amen. Now, verse number 5 of the chapter says that every man shall bear his own burden. So people think, well, hold on, what's the contradiction? We're supposed to help one another bear their burdens, and yet we're all supposed to carry our own burdens. And one commentator I was reading says that what it means that everybody's to bear their own burdens, like soldiers going out on a field, every soldier has their own bag they got to carry. But there are soldiers who are carrying their bags who get wounded. And so now I got to carry my bag, my burdens, but yet this man has a burden that's above and beyond the one that he's been carrying, and we need now to help him. Amen. And in the Christian life, talking about Ephesians 6, we're in a battle. We are in a battle, and we all have to carry our armor. And, you know, we're carrying our armor, and others are carrying their armors, and sometimes the devil trips one of us up. In fact, think about the context. We looked at this last week, but by way of reiteration, look at Galatians 6:1. Look at the context. We said in verse 2, bear one another's burden. Look at verse 1. Brethren, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, that means he's somebody who kind of got tripped up, slipped up, fell, if you will. You which are spiritual, restore, or might I say, help such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So the context is, hey, we're all fighting a battle. We're all carrying our armor. But sometimes somebody gets tripped up, and we need to continue to carry our armor and yet help them out at the same time. Amen. And by the way, don't put your armor down to help somebody else out. You might get caught off guard, amen? But we need to help one another. That's what Christian life is all about. Help one another. Serving one another involves helping one another. But not only does it involve helping one another, it involves this, and this is what we're going to focus on this morning. It involves the fact that we need to edify one another. Edify one another. Would you turn to Romans chapter number 14, please? Romans chapter number 14. This is the thought I think that we're just going to focus on this morning. Last week we talked a lot about helping one another and what that means. But this week I want to talk to you about edifying one another. By the way, that is serving one another. Part of my serving you and part of your serving me is we edify each other. Romans chapter number 14. We find in verse number 19, look at Romans 14, 19. And by the way, we're also going to look at Romans 15, 2, because really there is no separation. The chapter divisions were put in there, but sometimes the thought continues. So don't always let a chapter separation make you think that the thought stopped, okay? I want you to look at Romans 14, 19. Notice what it says. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. By the way, this is a good thing to say within this chapter, because this chapter talks about, and we already talked about it, it talks about receiving one another. but not to doubtful disputations. You know, people believe different things that make no difference. Remember, we talked about that. And instead of making a stink out of something that somebody believes differently than I do, especially if it's not nothing to do with Bible doctrine, my goal is to have peace with one another. Amen. Do the things that make for peace. Verse number 19. And then it says, and the things wherewith one may what? Edify another. You see, edify, basically this, edify means to build up. To build up. You and I need to edify one another. We need to build up one another. By the way, the opposite of edifying one another would be what? Tearing each other down. That's not what we want to do. We want to build each other up. Amen. We don't want to tear each other down. By the way, I know the devil, he likes to get into there in between us, and he likes to get us to try to tear down God's work. Amen. You and I need to be a part of the building of God's work and the building up of God's people and not the tearing down. Amen. And by the way, it's very easy to tear down. And it only takes one little member of your body to tear down things. The little member that could be set on fire from hell, James 3, the tongue. Amen. Very easy to dissemble and to take apart and to tear down. And we need to edify one another. We need to build up one another. Look at chapter 15 of Romans, verse number 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? Edification. What is the context of this? There's different people celebrating different days and maybe have different diets. You know, the Jewish people wouldn't eat certain meats that may have been sold in shambles or in the marketplace. And so there's a lot of different things going on. They're called doubtful disputations. And my goal is not to tear down somebody who believes something differently, although it's not clearly Bible. We talked about this before. Somebody says, well, I don't think that eating ham is a good thing. Well, I'm not going to tear you down by ordering a ham sandwich in front of you if we go out to eat. I want to please myself and have a ham sandwich, believe me. Buy some ham last week. By the way, some of you are saying, where is his wife again? Today's my oldest son's birthday. He's 22. And so we have a celebration. She's going to church locally. And we're having a barbecue / party. So she's marinating the steaks and stuff like that. Every time she's not here, she's doing something with food. Pork chops, ham, steak. So anyway, when I get home, the table will be spread. The prodigal's coming home, amen? But anyway, keep her in prayer, if you would. Like, she really needs it. But nonetheless, we need to edify, build up one another. Would you look with me, please, another verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. By the way, this is what the scriptures tell us. In the flesh, by the way, we all got to be careful because we want to tear each other down. Do you know why most people want to tear people down? Because when you tear somebody else down, it's usually for the sake of making yourself look good. Amen? You put somebody else down so that they're down below you. Amen? My goal in life is not to try to please myself by doing what I want. I need to concern myself with the sake of others for their good to edification. 1 Thessalonians, if you would, please, chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. I want you to look with me in verse number 11. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse number 11. The Bible says this, wherefore, comfort yourselves together. And by the way, this also takes on the thought of chapter 4, verse 18, which is right there on the same page. Comfort one another. Remember we talked about that? Comfort one another, which had to do with those of our loved ones who have gone on before. We want to comfort one another with the fact that, hey, their body's in the grave, they're with the Lord, and one day there'll be a reunion. Amen? And so comforting one another, by the way, I'll throw this in there on the side, is a part of serving one another. Amen. But look at verse number 11 as we continue on. Wherefore, verse number chapter 5, verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together, and here it is, edify one another even as you do. And by the way, they were edifying one another, and Paul basically encouraged them, keep on edifying one another. Amen. Keep on comforting and edifying one another. Here's a question I want to ask and hopefully try to answer. What does it take to edify one another? I know that God wants me to help build you up and God wants us to help build each other up. What does it take to really be an edifier, if you will? And let me give you the first thing that I believe it takes. Would you look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, please? 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. One of the first things it takes to edify and to build up one another, we'll find in verse number 1 of chapter 8. In fact, it's quite amazing because in Romans 14 and 15, where it talked about edify twice, and here in this text, again, it's the context of eating meats offered to idols. And is it okay? And some believe it's right, some believe it's wrong. And Paul basically says, we know that it really doesn't matter. It's really nothing. We have knowledge. We have this understanding. But not everybody understands what we understand. Amen? Now look at verse number 1 of chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's what it takes to edify one another. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Now, what Paul is saying here, he's saying those who have a better understanding, the maturer, those that are more mature, they know and understand that it really means nothing. But not everybody has that understanding. To them, to do this and to eat this particular meat is wrong and it's going to hurt their conscience and it's going to tear them down. Here's what he says. Knowledge puffeth up. But what did he say? But charity edifieth. What does that mean? It means this. The best thing that you and I can do if we're going to really try to edify one another, one of the first things we need is love. Love. Charity, the word charity is self-sacrificing love. Amen? What does that mean? I need to love others more than I love myself. That's what charity is, by the way. Charity is loving others more than I love myself. I need to love others if I'm going to build them up. Amen. In fact, if I love them, I want to build them up. Amen. And so that's exactly what we need. Now, I want you to turn with me. We're in the neighborhood. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 23. Here's what Paul said again. 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, you're dealing with these questionable things, if you will. And in verse number 23, he says, all things are lawful for me, Paul said, but all things are not expedient, which means they're not all good. He says in verse number 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Again, Paul's saying, I can eat meat offered to idols, and it's that's fine. But it's not always edifying to do it in the presence of somebody who may be offended and so on. Now, look at chapter, or 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. It takes love in our hearts to edify one another. Love in our hearts to edify one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 19. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 19. Paul said this to the believers here. He said again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. Notice what he says to these Corinthian believers. We do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Paul the apostle was saying to these believers here, we do as ministers, we do all that we do for your edification. Now, in the very context, look at verses 14 and 15. Notice the kind of heart that Paul had for these believers. Here's what he says in verse number 14 and 15. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but what? You. Let me tell you what Paul's saying to these believers. Paul is saying to these believers, listen, I'm not seeking yours. Do you know what that means? That means I'm not seeking what you have. See, there were other people that were so-called apostles. Paul refers to them as chief apostles. They were only interested in making merchandise of God's people. There were these people coming in there, and they were more interested in getting from these people than doing for these people. In fact, Paul the apostle said, you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you don't have many fathers. who care for you and love you. Paul the apostle says to these people, listen, I don't want what you have. I'm not interested in getting from you. By the way, how many have children here? You're more interested in doing for your children than getting anything from your children. You know that to be the truth. Is that right? Why? Because you love them. You love them. Paul the apostle loved these Corinthian believers, and he tried to express that to them. I'm not interested in yours. I'm interested in you. Now look what he says in verse number 14 as we continue. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Here's what he says, verse 15, which is the key that I want you to get, because we're talking about this. It really takes love in your heart to be concerned about building up other people. Amen? Here's what he says in verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. See, what is Paul saying? Remember he said earlier, I do everything for your edification. I do everything for your growth and for the building up of you. Here's why. You're my children. I love you, children in the Lord. I love you, and I'm like a parent to you, and I'm not trying to get from you. I'm trying to give to you. I am willing to spend for you, and I'm willing to be spent for you. That's what Paul was saying. By the way, this is the kind of heart that it takes to concern yourself with the helping and the blessing and the edifying and the building of others. Let me tell you what takes that away. Selfishness. Amen. You know what selfishness focuses on? Me. Is it warm in here or is it me? Yes. It's warm. Can we crank up the air con, please? Once I see people starting to fan themselves and see, usually I get hot and I think to myself, okay, I'm the only one that's hot because like I'm under the lights here. I was preaching at a church in Delaware and they do the live stream. And so they got these TV lights and I was wondering why in the world am I up there sweating to death? And everybody else was looking like they're fine. But anyway, we're going to crank up the air con. I don't want anybody falling asleep. And if I fall asleep, Jason, pray, and we'll close in prayer or something. Amen. Do we get it? So what does it take to edify one? What does it take to build up people? Here's what it takes. Love. Hatred picks apart and tears down. Amen. We got to be very, very careful. Listen, that we first love one another. Amen. Love one another. And build one another up. Amen. What does it take to edify one another? It takes love. It takes a heart that has enough love in it for the sake of others. But here's another thing that it takes. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Here's another thing that it takes. Not only does it take love to build up. We're talking about spiritually building up each other, right? Love is not enough, by the way. Love is not enough. Here's what else it takes. I want you to turn with me for a moment to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter number 20, please. You and I are, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are to love one another and edify one another and build up one another. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. Why? We're all part of the same body. And if I can build you up and if I can keep you healthy, I got a better chance. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't want any part of my body getting sick. I like my toes and everything else. Amen. I mean, seriously, I mean, to me, every part of the body's important. I can say, well, let them get infected. I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter. My fingers, you know, no, I need them. How in the world am I going to eat chicken without them? Right? Anyway, I want you to look with me, please. Look at Acts chapter number 20. So we need to love one another, but we need to build up one another. We need to edify one another. We need to encourage one another. I want you to look with me in Acts chapter number 20. And I want you to look at verse number 32. Not only does it take love, we're talking about spiritually building up each other. Not only does it take love in our hearts, but it takes words on our lips. Words on our lips. Acts chapter 20, look at verse number 32. The Bible says this. Paul the apostle speaking to the Ephesian elders. He said in verse number 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. And to the word of his grace. You know what grace is, by the way? Watch this. Now, I'm not talking about saving grace. I'm talking about these people are already saved. You know what grace is? Grace is help. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. See that? The word of his grace. The words of this book right here are able to build you up. You and I need to have God's love in our heart and God's word in our lips. You get the love of God in your heart and the word of God on your lips, and you're like a spiritual construction worker, ready to build up others and help them to become more and more strong and stable and so on. Amen. I want you to turn with me for a moment to the book of Ephesians. And by the way, when it's hot, it's good to turn the pages because they fan you a little bit. Right? Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. We need God's love in our heart for each other, and we need God's word on our lips for each other. Amen. The word is like a hammer. Another text talks about the word Ecclesiastes being like a nail. You give me hammers and nails and I can build things up. You give me God's word in my mouth, I can help build you up. Amen. And we can build each other up. That's what it's all about anyway. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. I want you to look at verse number 29. Verse number 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29. Notice what it says, if you would. For no man... I'm in the wrong chapter. That's chapter 5. We don't want to talk about husbands loving wives and so on. Not this morning, right? Ephesians 4, verse number 29. What's it say? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying. What's the next statement? Ready? That it may minister grace unto the hearer. Remember we talked about grace? Help. Let the words that come out of your mouth minister, serve, edify, build up. May they be gracious words that help each other, help others. We need God's word. By the way, we need God's word. People that are empty of the word of God, when you're going through something, the only thing they say, well, I'm praying for you and it's going to turn out right. And these are kind words and everything else. But you know what I'd like to hear when I'm going through something? I'd like to hear a word from God. Wouldn't you like to do that? Because those words, they're not just from you. They're through you. And I know they're from him. And they can help me. You know, Job had a testimony. There was a time, matter of fact, do you remember Job's so-called friends? And they talked about him being a person that there was a time when Job would speak words to people and these words would uphold people. You know, words can do two things. They can discourage you and cause you just to kind of drag your feet and drag your hands. They can depress you, or words can lift you up and encourage you and strengthen you. Amen. Words will determine how we feel. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Words need to be used by us to build up each other, encourage each other, edify each other. Amen. That we may minister grace to one another. And let me just say this. We're in this chapter, right, of Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to do me a favor. Look at verse number 11. I want you to see something. In verse 11, it speaks about God given gifted men to the church. These gifted men and the local church and the gathering of the local church, God uses that, guess it, to build us up corporately. So then we can grow and be able to build each other up. Look with me, if you would, verse number 11, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, we refer to this as the foundation of the church. New Testament apostles and prophets founded the church. And he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, which they refer to the furtherance of the church. Why did God give these leadership, not only the founding and the furthering? Look at verse number 12. For the perfecting of the chain of the saints. For the what? The maturing of the saints, the growing of the saints, right? By the way, it's the church services that help us to grow. They build us up. They help us to become more and more what we ought to be, right? Look at verse 12. For the work of the ministry, for what? For the what? Edifying of the body. Notice that. God gave the leadership to the church to help the church to be what? Edified. To help us to grow and mature and develop. Amen. See, the local church is used in that way. Now look at verse number 13. Do I want to look at verse 13 or do I want to skip down? Skip down to verse number 16. Notice what it says. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, watch this, maketh increase of the body unto what? The edifying of what? Itself. The preacher, the teacher gets up, the Spirit of God uses him to help us to grow and mature individually and personally. And before you know it, I'm growing to a point where I can now look to the person next to me and I can start to edify them and they can start to edify me. When a person gets saved and comes in and said, they don't know much. But if they sit under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, they grow and they grow to a point where they can become now helpful to each other. Amen. We talked about that by way of illustration. Raising children, they want to be helpful when they can't help. Remember? You know, 2-year-old wants to help you to take the trash out. He can't take the trash out. I'm glad he wants to, but he can't take the trash out. But he ought to get strong enough and big enough that he can be a help. We talked about this. They get to that point where they can be helps, teenagers. But they don't want to be helped. Amen. Spiritually speaking, we come in the nursery, spiritually speaking, we get feasting on the Word of God, we start to mature, we start to grow, we start to develop, and now we start to help one another. Amen? And that's what it's all about. It takes the Word of God on our lips, in our lips. God's love in our heart for one another, God's Word on our lips for one another. And let me encourage you in this respect. Before we can edify or build up others, we need to be first edified and built up ourselves. In the book of Jude, verse number 20, it says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Get into this book. Build up yourself. And then you'll be able to better help other people. Do you know what helps other people? What helped you? If you ain't getting help from the Lord in your circumstances and situations, you're not going to be able to help anybody else. When I'm speaking with people and we're just talking or fellowship and they bring up a situation, you know, if I have a word for them, it's because God gave me something maybe when I was going through something. And I say, you know, here's what helped me when I was going. Doesn't 2 Corinthians say that? When we go through situations, the Lord delivers up us and helps us so that we can help others who are going through the same situation. Amen. What's helping you ought to be able to help others. Amen. And namely, it should be the book. Amen. You and I need to focus. We got to be strong. In fact, the message to the leadership in Acts 20:28, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, but yourself first. In 1 Timothy, matter of fact, turn there if you would, please. We're in the neighborhood. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, please. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. So we need to build up ourselves. We need to be growing. We need to be feasting on the Word, amen, so that we can turn around and help others, edify others, lift up others, encourage others. By the way, that's how it works, isn't it? That is how it works. If you are empty of the Word of God, how in the world are you going to help somebody else out? Amen? You can only do like the world does. Well, you know, hope everything works out for you. Oh, I hope this or I hope that and whatever. Amen? But it would be nice to be able to give somebody a word from God that might help build them up. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. Paul speaking to the Timothy here says, take heed unto thyself. And again, I got to keep myself strong, amen, and fit spiritually speaking, because I ain't going to be helpful to anybody else if I'm not what I ought to be, right? Let him which is spiritual restore such a one, amen. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Keep your life and the word straight. Continue in them. Continue to keep yourself and your doctrine straight. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. And that word has not got to do with eternal salvation, because he's already saved. You deliver yourself and you deliver them that what? Hear thee. If I stay in this book's going to help me. And how this book helps me is how this book's going to help somebody else from me. Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. The most important thing, and you know this, is the word of God. Amen. It's quick and it's powerful. Amen. Sharper than any two-edged sword. What we all need to hear from one another is God's word. Amen. Give me a word that might help me. Amen. That might strengthen me. That might just build me up, lift me up, push me on. Amen. Where am I? Where did I say to go? Because I'm lost. Colossians. All right, Colossians. I'm sorry. I've been found now. I was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Look at Colossians 3:16. Listen, edifying one another. If we're going to edify one another, we're going to have to first have something in our hearts and in ourselves. Watch what he says in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, what? Richly. Now watch this now. In all wisdom. Why do I need God's word dwelling in me? Here it is. Ready? Teaching and admonishing, what? One another. In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. How about that? I need Christ's word. I need God's word dwelling in me, Rich. If I'm going to teach you and admonish you, by the way, it's not teaching and admonishing the congregation. It's teaching and admonishing one another. If I need God's word in me to teach and admonish, to instruct, and to admonish means to urge on to do right. Amen. This is what we need. This is what we need. Look at Hebrews. I'm coming down. Look at Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3, it takes the word of God, amen, it takes the word of God. There are days all I need is a word from the Lord to lift me up, amen. Heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad, amen. And a good word is always found in the book, amen. Hebrews chapter number 3, I want you to look at verse number 13, Hebrews chapter 3, 13. See, we're talking about edifying one another, admonishing one another, teaching one another. It's got to be in me. Hebrews 3, look at verse number 13. The Bible says this, but exhort one another daily. By the way, that's also a part of admonishing and edifying and building up. Exhort one another daily, day by day, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now skip over to chapter number 10, Hebrews chapter number 10. See, don't forget, in the book of Hebrews, these Hebrew believers had gotten saved and they started to live for God. And then all of a sudden they started to face tremendous persecution and they were tempted to quit. They were tempted to throw in the towel, right? And would they be encouraged? Hey, listen, exhort one another. You see, exhort, encourage one another. And the real emphasis is to keep on keeping on. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse number 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Remember, it's provoking one another and not the negative provoking one another. Amen. Not provoking the anger. Amen. But provoking or exhorting and encouraging to love and good works. Keep on doing right. Keep on keeping on. Amen. How many people are still where they are ought to be because somebody encouraged them along the way? Amen. Thank God for Barnabases. Sons of consolation, exhorters, amen. When people said, no, we don't trust Paul the apostle, Barnabas said, I'll take him. We'll get him going for the Lord, amen. When Paul even said about John Mark, well, he failed. He ain't going on this ministry. It was Barnabas who encouraged him, maybe got him back in the ministry. Amen. A word. Look at verse number 25, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. There were people who were not getting together with the brethren when they were getting together. But what? Exhorting one another, and so much the more. By the way, what are we supposed to do so much the more? Exhort one another. Exhort one another as you see the day approaching. You and I need to edify one another. Build up one another. I got to have love in my heart, his love in my heart, and his word on my lips. God can use me to help others, and God can use you to help us. Amen. This is all what it means to serve one another. And I'll close with this. You could throw this in there. It's for free. It's at the end. James 5:16. Part of serving one another is praying for one another. Praying for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much, avails much. Amen. May God help us to love one another and to serve one another, to help one another, to build up each other. Amen. May the Lord help us in this respect. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Getting too fired up this morning in Sunday school, but I thank you for the word, and I thank you for what it can do for us. I thank you for the people over the years of my life that have edified me and have come alongside of me and gave me a word of encouragement or exhortation from the Bible. Oh, they had the word in them to be able to give it to them, to me. May I have and may we have the word in us that we can give it to one another. A word fitly spoken. I pray that each one of us will have a word fitly spoken. A word in due season. How good is it? Father, please help us to love one another and serve one another according to your precious word. Bless, we pray, our time of fellowship and the upcoming service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now I've got to cool down a little bit.